How powerful is Elrond? During The Lord of the Rings, he seems to spend most of his time at Rivendell rather than engaging directly with the enemy. But what powers does he have? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you'd like to see more videos about great fantasy stories like The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, please click on the subscribe button in the bottom right of your screen and click on the bell icon. How powerful is Elrond? Elrond is one of the most recognisable and central characters in all of Tolkien's legendarium. He plays a key role in both The Hobbit, where he reads the secret runes on Thrawn's map of Erebor, so they knew how to get into the Lonely Mountain, and in The Lord of the Rings, the Council of Elrond is clearly pivotal in both forming the Fellowship and constructing the plan. Gandalf seems to defer to him in many ways, wanting to wait until the ring was in Rivendell and he had Elrond's counsel before deciding on the next steps. And we know how powerful Gandalf is. So how powerful is Elrond? Well, let's start with his heritage. Elrond was known as the half-elven, for although he had mostly elven heritage, he was also part human, counting such luminaries as Beren and Tuor among his ancestors. And also, in a smaller part, Maia. His great-great-grandmother was Melian the Maia. The Maia are those spiritual angelic beings who serve or served the Valar, like Gandalf, or indeed Sauron. Because of this heritage, and their own desire to more firmly delineate the difference between immortal elves and mortal men, at the end of the First Age, the Valar gave Elrond and his twin brother Elros a choice, whether to be counted among the elves or men. Elrond chose the elves, his brother, men. Elros, incidentally, still lived a long life by human standards as the first king of Numenor, 500 years. It's why his descendants as Numenorean monarchs are also long-lived, albeit shorter each generation. Much later, Aragorn's longevity, he lived to be 210 years old, stems from this ancestry. But back to Elrond. After his brother sailed for Numenor, he settled in Lindon in Middle-earth with Gil-galad, the king of the Noldor elves. During this time, he seems to have grown in wisdom and knowledge, and particularly increased his skills in healing. We know the story of when Sauron disguised himself as Annatar, the Lord of Gifts, and worked with Celebrimbor to forge the Rings of Power, but it's often overlooked how that wasn't where Annatar tried first. First, he tried to ingratiate himself with Elrond and Gil-galad, but they refused him, not knowing exactly who he was, but sensing that all was not right. And when it all went wrong, and Sauron's duplicity was revealed, it was Elrond who led the elven force to oppose his invasion, founding the outpost of Imladris in the process, which became known as Rivendell. We sometimes think of Gandalf or Galadriel as having the role of chief opponent to Sauron, but compared to Elrond, Gandalf was actually quite late on the scene in Middle-earth, and Galadriel was a lot less obviously directly engaged from what we read in the books. Elrond fought in the last alliance of elves and men against Sauron, was there when Isildur cut the ring from Sauron's hand, and it was to Elrond that Isildur was riding to give him the ring when he was ambushed and killed. And throughout the Third Age, it was Elrond who led the resistance front and centre. Rivendell became the de facto home of the resistance to the Shadow wherever it appeared. He led the fight against the Witch King of Angmar in the north across several battles, kept the shards of Narsil safe for when they would be reforged, and when the northern kingdom of Arnor finally fell, he kept the other symbols of Numenorean kingship, the Scepter of Annúminas and the Ring of Barahir, safe too. Not only this, but he took up the habit of fostering the heirs of Isildur in Rivendell, generation after generation, century after century, so that each could grow to maturity and wisdom in safety in Rivendell, before heading out to the wilds as a ranger of the north. This, it has to be said, was probably more than just the actions of a good man. Elrond, remember, had a familial relationship to the Numenoreans. His twin brother had been the first king there, and Elendil's heirs retained that heritage. When the White Council of the Wise met to discuss how to oppose Sauron, it always involved Elrond, and usually met at Rivendell. He was part of the raid on Dol Guldur that finally pushed Sauron into the open. And even during the story of The Lord of the Rings, it's clear that Elrond is directing events. It is he who chooses the members of the Fellowship, gives the commission to Frodo, and instructs his smiths to reforge the sword that was broken. He sends his sons to aid Aragorn in the final battles, encouraging him to pass through the paths of the dead, releasing the dead men of Dun Harrow, and even remotely supports the decision to lead an army on Mordor as a distraction to buy Frodo some more time. Yes, the more you dig into it, the more you see Elrond's hands directing events throughout the last years of the Third Age. Is this power? Perhaps not as we might immediately think of it, but the influence of his work behind the scenes across the entire continent is undeniable. And Elrond was powerful. Take healing, for example. Gandalf describes him as master of healing. Only he can save Frodo from that Morgul blade wound, and when Aragorn is in the halls of healing in Minas Tirith, about to fulfil the prophecy that the hands of the king are the hands of a healer, amazing everyone with his skills, he wishes Elrond were there, for Elrond, he said, had the greater power. Elrond also has powers to protect and preserve Rivendell. This is, at least in part, due to him being the holder of Vilya, one of the three elven rings. Elrond had been given it by Gil-galad, and although we don't hear of any specific powers that it possesses, it is mentioned as being the most powerful of the three. It certainly seems to have the ability to preserve Rivendell and those in it against the ravages of time and the approaching shadow, hiding it from Sauron's gaze. When the ring's power was ended with the destruction of the One Ring, Rivendell was soon abandoned by the elves as they headed west. As for other powers, Vilya, as the Ring of Air, surely did have some. Gandalf's ring gave him great powers over fire. Just think of all the fire magic he does over the stories. And Galadriel's over water. Remember the Mirror of Galadriel. So it makes sense if Elrond had similar and probably even greater powers over air, even if we don't see them firsthand. And although Tolkien doesn't tend to highlight them, there are plenty of other examples of Elrond doing what we might consider to be magical things. Whether he might consider themselves as magical is another matter, of course, but elves have a particularly fine line between magic and simple living and working with the nuances of Middle-earth. For example, when the river Bruinen rises up to wash away the Nazgul outside Rivendell, that is Elrond, though you wouldn't know if Gandalf hadn't mentioned it in passing to Frodo. We also read of Elrond using telepathy to communicate with Gandalf, Galadriel and Celeborn, and there can be little doubt that he had some quite impressive gifts of foresight. At the Council of Elrond, when Frodo offers to take the ring, Elrond says that, "I think that this task is appointed for you, Frodo, and that if you do not find a way, no one will. This is the hour of the Shire folk, when they arise from their quiet fields to shake the towers and councils of the great." Prescient indeed. So, was Elrond powerful? Yes, very, though he wore it lightly, and probably crucially, he did not seek power. He did not covet ruling a huge realm, but instead a simple valley. On Gil-galad's death, Elrond could probably have claimed the throne as High King of the Noldor, but didn't, instead turning his own home not into a palace or castle, but the last homely house, a refuge for weary travellers, a support for the rightful kings of Arnor, and a meeting point for all those opposed to Sauron. It's noticeable that despite everyone looking to him for counsel and wisdom, he rarely commands people. He advises, he shares his knowledge and foresight and offers his protection, but he doesn't demand people do as he says. It is telling that they do as he suggests anyway, almost all of the time. Elrond was powerful, yes, but his power was more in his influence than shows of magical prowess. It is probably not overstating the case to say that without him, the centuries-long struggle against Sauron might well have been lost, and lost a lot earlier than the War of the Ring. Without him, the line of Isildur may well not have survived. Without him, the dwarves would not have known how to get to Erebor in The Hobbit. Without him, there would have been no Fellowship of the Ring. Elrond left Middle-earth a safer, wiser, and better place for his having been there. And that is much closer to Tolkien's understanding of true power than anything that Sauron could dream of. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. That's the link on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.